Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. As always, I'm thrilled that you're joining us this week. Now, to help you on your journey of change, whatever that is for you, and I know sometimes change can be a little scary, especially if you haven't chosen the change that's kind of been thrust upon you, I have a free gift for you to help you navigate these sometimes tumultuous waters and make it a little bit calmer for you. So it's my free communication style assessment. That link is in the show notes. Please take it and you'll get two reports. One will spotlight your natural communication superpowers, kind of important to know. And that's how people are receiving you when you communicate. Flip side, you'll also get a report on your lowest score, which is the style that's really not comfortable for you. That becomes a blind spot. And that report will shine a light on some little tricks that you can do so that when you're speaking to someone that's in your blind spot, you could still make sure your message is being received properly. So again, it's in the show notes under the link. Please take that. And I truly hope it helps you navigate change that's going on in your life. Now, my motivational quote today is by Deborah King, and Deborah says, "Meditation is like a giant broom for sweeping away any stagnant or blocked energy that you may have buried deep in your body." Now, I started my meditation practice probably about a decade ago. You would think after 10 years of practicing this, that my meditation would be easy peasy for me. Well, it's not. Sometimes I still find it hard to just quiet my mind and to be open to hear and maybe even see the new opportunities around me and to help me be aware of things I probably should be paying attention to that are right in front of me for the good of my higher self. So I'm really excited for my conversation today with Dr. Susan Shumsky. Now, Dr. Susan and I, we're going to dig in and we're going to discuss prosperity meditations. Now, Susan will share that we can create affluence in all areas of our life in our lives, not just material. All we need to do is learn how to receive the boundless bounty that is our birthright. Now, Dr. Susan is dedicated to helping people take command of their lives in highly effective, powerful, and positive ways. She is the best-selling author of, wait for it, 20 books, and she has won 43 prestigious book awards. For two decades, she studied with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. He's the founder of Transcendental Meditation and a guru of the Beatles. She served as Maharishi's staff for 6 years and a pioneer in human potential field. She's taught meditation, prayer, affirmations, and intuition to tens of thousands worldwide. And she has founded Divine Revelation, a technology for contacting the divine presence, hearing and testing the inner voice, and receiving clear divine guidance. Woo! Please help me welcome Susan to the show. So Susan, thanks for being on.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Connie. I'm so excited to speak with you today.
This is a good topic. This is one of my faves out there. And I know that bio was a little long for the listeners. I didn't want to take anything out though, Susan, because, you know, the awards, writing so many books, you truly are an expert in this field. And some of the tools that we're going to talk about are really going to help people, I hope, navigate their life with just a little bit of ease and grace, right? And that's what I think we're always trying to achieve.
Absolutely.
So share briefly, what's your background that this is what you're doing and teaching out there?
Well, you know, back in the mid 20th century, I was a flower child. I was a hippie. And those of us who were flower children, we were seeking higher awareness. You know, it wasn't just all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, Connie. It was about a higher state of awareness, altered states. And at that time, our gurus were Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert, who later became Ram Dass. And they wrote a book called The Psychedelic Experience. And they told us that all we need to do is turn on, tune in, and drop out. Take LSD. That's the key to nirvana. That didn't work out too well for me, I'll tell you. But I still wanted to reach nirvana. So I was studying the Buddhist scriptures. I was reading autobiography of a yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. I was reading The Way of Zen and other works by Alan Watts. And in Alan Watts' books, he said that you have to find a meditation guide. Well, in the 1960s in Berkeley, California, you didn't exactly go to the yellow pages and find meditation guide or anything remotely similar. But I still wanted to have this experience. So I asked a friend, you know, how can I find this meditation guide? He said, have you ever tried to meditate on your own? I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. So I lay down on my bed. That's how clueless I was, Connie. I didn't even know that you're supposed to sit up when you meditate. I lay in my bed and sort of prayed for or asked for a meditation. And immediately I was propelled into this ecstatic state. I could feel this cord or rush of energy rushing from the tips of my toes all the way up to the top of my head. And I felt like I was plugged into this cosmic electric socket, but in a most ecstatic way. And I figured, well, I didn't know any better. I said, oh, I guess this is meditation. Little did I know that I had received not only my first meditation, but also Kundalini awakening all at the same time without any drugs or stimulants. And soon after that, a friend took me to the Transcendental Meditation Center. And I saw the picture of the guru on the wall, who was Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the guru of, well, later he became the guru of the Beatles. And so I knew immediately, as soon as I saw his picture, I could feel this energy coming from him, just from the photo. And I That's knew cool. that this was where I could learn real meditation. So I did and went off to India. And yeah.
The rest is the history as they write. That's history. So I'm curious. So it's just fascinating because back then you were seeking, right, this meditation practice guide, right? Somebody throws out, right? That's the beginning, right? That you heard it. You need a guide and you thought, okay, let me pursue this. How did the Beatles and these other entities that you hear that they were getting divine downloads for their music and were they able to tap into that more naturally? Like, how did they find him? How did they find the guru?
Well, you know, the Beatles were flower children also.
Yes.
They were of the same generation.
Sure.
And all of us were looking for higher consciousness, including the Beatles. And they were seeking and they tried LSD. They tried it for years. They took thousands of trips. At least John Lennon did. The others didn't take thousands of trips, but they definitely took a lot of LSD. And George reported that LSD totally changed his perception, totally changed his view. It was a very dramatic change for him and him and John especially. And so they were seeking. And Patty Boyd, who is George Harrison's wife, she saw a little tiny ad in the Times of London for Transcendental Meditation. So she went with her friend, went to the lecture. They learned TM. She told George about it, how it had helped her and how incredible it was. And he said, well, I want my own mantra. So when they found out that Maharishi was going to be speaking at the London Hilton on August 24th of 1967, George got tickets for all the Beatles and their wives, and they went. They were very favorably impressed with the lecture. After the lecture, they met with Maharishi, and they said that they had been seeking a highly spiritual experience, and they tried LSD, and that didn't work out. But Maharishi said to them, well, it's laudable of the youth today to want to have spiritual awakening, but drugs are not the way. And he said to the Beatles that they could have a big impact on the youth. And Paul asked, well, how would we do that? And Maharishi said, learn transcendental meditation and become teachers of meditation and learn from one of my teachers in London. And they said, no, we want to learn from you.
So Maharishi
invited them to. The next day, he was going to go to Bangor, North Wales, and teach a meditation retreat. So he invited them to come along. The very next day, they boarded a train, public transportation. They never, ever did that. They went on public transportation with Maharishi up to Bangor, and they learned TM the next day. And unfortunately, the day after that, their manager, Brian Epstein, died. So they had to go back to London.
Oh.
And they wanted to go to Rishikesh to study with Maharishi, Rishikesh, India, to study with Maharishi. But they were delayed. They finally went in February of 1968.
So fascinating, because you hear it. It's just funny how I think the artistic world, the creative world, you know, where they're writing music or artistry or whatever it is that their calling is, they're more tapped into that divine element. And I remember in an interview, I want to say it was Michael Jackson, and he was his producer or whoever. He would get calls in the middle of the night, and Michael would be saying, "We have to meet at the studio. I have a tune in my head. I have to get it out of my head." And the producer would say, "Can it wait till tomorrow? Like, I'm sleeping." And he would say, "No, we have to go now." He goes, "Because if I don't write it down, if I don't get it out of my head, it's going to go to Prince or one of the other artists, the recording artists, and it's mine. I want this too." So, but see how tuned in they were, that if you're not listening, the idea can, right? Because it's all matter, it's all energy, will go to someone else. So you hear these stories of these artists who are just really tuned in or tapped into it, where some other people, it's a little bit harder to achieve that meditative state, right? That transcendental
state.
My mouth doesn't want to say that. But that's a great story about the Beatles. And it's just fascinating, that some people like yourself, you were seeking it at such a young age. Just so fascinating. You know, there's a lot of talk now. We talk about the law of attraction. What do you think about The Secret and the law of attraction personally? I know I have my opinions. I'm curious about yours.
Yeah, I'm going to speak about that. I just want to mention, though, that Paul McCartney received downloads like that, and he talked about it, and he saw visions, and he had dreams, and those turned into songs. Same with John Lennon, especially that song Across the Universe, which he wrote right after he learned transcendental meditation. That came to him as a download. But, you know, this is nothing new. Mozart, Beethoven, Schumann, these incredibly famous composers all had experiences like that as well. And every one of us can have those kinds of experiences.
And that's the key. And that's what you help people unlock, right?
Exactly.
Because we really have access to this. Just like you were told, you need a guide. And I think that it's even easier now because of the technology and Zoom and recordings. And it really can be at our fingertips if we know where to look and what will work for us, right? That's really what we're seeking. Because, you know, everything doesn't work for everyone. I personally believe that. So, all right. So The Secret and the law of attraction opinion on this, because you're an expert. So.
Well, I mean, The Secret is no secret. This new thought philosophy has been going on since ancient times. All the sages throughout the ages have told us that we create our own reality and our own destiny through thoughts, through words, and through deeds. Lord Buddha said, "All that we are is the result of what we have thought." And I'm going to repeat that because it's a stunning statement. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. And this is the first verse of the first chapter of the Dhammapada, which is arguably the most important Buddhist scripture. And then he goes on to say, "If a person speaks or acts with a pure thought, then happiness follows him or her. Mm-hmm. If a person speaks or acts with an impure thought, then unhappiness follows him or her." Mm-hmm. So what he's saying in these verses is that we create our own destiny and our own reality through thoughts primarily, also through words and through deeds, through what we think, what we say, and what we do.
Sure.
And Jesus once said, "We are not defiled by what we put into our mouths. We are defiled by what comes out of our mouths."
Yeah.
So he was saying the same thing, and he taught that over and over and over in his teachings, where if you really read his teachings and really ingest his teachings, he talks about the power of the word, the power of prayer, the power of affirmation, say unto this mountain, you know, and so on, the tree, all these things that he used to say. And so that is not a secret. But what The Secret did is it popularized it. It helped us to see it in a practical way, which is great. The only problem with The Secret is that it's missing one element. And that is, it talks about, you know, like making your shopping list. These are the things. These are your goals. This is what I want to achieve and focusing on that. And indeed, yes, you can manifest anything you want by creating that list, by focusing, whatever you put your attention on will grow stronger in your life and you can achieve anything. The problem is once you've achieved this, those things on your shopping list and then, oh, I didn't really want that. Why did I put that on my shopping list? You know, so we get these goals completed. And it isn't necessarily what's of highest wisdom for us to achieve. So what's missing from The Secret is that, first of all, before you make your shopping list, first of all, connect with your higher self, connect with the divine presence, connect with that which is deep within you, and ask, what is highest wisdom for me to achieve? Ask, what is my purpose? What is my mission? And then make your shopping list. After you've figured out what your mission is, then you know what to ask for. Then you can make your list and then you'll have a very fulfilling life.
That's amazing. And, you know, it sounds simple, but just like anything else, there's muscle memory, right? In our brain, in the meditation, in being open, opening ourselves to get those divine downloads and all of those things. So there is an element of practice to this. It's not like, okay, I got it. I'm good. I don't ever have to do this again. That's not the case because we can get better and better and better and we can see things more clearly. And the other thing too is, as we age, our life changes, demands on us change, the environment around us changes. So we have to make sure that we stay connected. So we're always looking to achieve what's best for our higher self. And you really have to practice and tune into that. So, and I know that you help people do that through your books and all of the things that you have available, which is amazing. I mean, this is your mission in life, which is, it's a beautiful thing.
Exactly. So it's important for us to understand that intuition is a learnable, teachable skill. Mm-hmm. Okay. And anyone can do it. It's just like anything else we want to learn in life, learn a language. If we want to play the piano, if you want to excel in any kind of skill, if we want to become an auto mechanic, whatever it is, it's learnable and teachable. And same with intuition. And it takes practice. As you said, practice, practice, practice. The more you practice, the better you get at it.
And the easier it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, money, and everybody's thinking abundance. I want money. I want financial freedom, which I get, right? If we're financially free, that we don't have to worry about paying bills, we can be more philanthropic, right? We can give out into the world in a bigger, better way and make a larger impact. And we can do that with our time as well. I'm not just saying money is the be all end all, but why do you think that money is really good rather than evil? You know, we've grown up with, oh, the money, you know, money is the root of all evil. We've heard things like that, right? Oh, they're rich. I bet they're thieves or they're crooks or something like that. So you're laughing because I'm sure you've heard this from other people as well. We've heard that growing up, right? It's that perception. We've adopted it as our belief, even if, you know, we were a kid and a mom said it or grandmom said it. So why do you believe though that money is really good?
Yeah. The thing is, we really have been brainwashed against money, and many of us walk around with a great hate of money.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really draw money into your life. Money goes where it's welcomed and it stays where it's well treated. So if we want to have a prosperous life with regards to money, I mean, prosperity isn't just about money.
Correct.
But money in itself is just a way for us to exchange goods and services. That's all it is. Right. Money is neither evil nor not evil. It's just a thing that we use. And if we have more of it, we have more power to do good. Those of us who have the best interest of the world in our hearts. Those of us who sincerely want to lift the consciousness of the planet, those of us who sincerely want all beings on this planet to have a rich and happy life and have enough to eat and a place to live. Those of us who really want to help the planet, we will do a lot more good if we have more resources. Then we have more power to do good.
Right.
So there is good in money. Money is good. Money is good, good, and very good.
It's funny because, you know, money is power. And unfortunately, people think that money is power, that I could dangle it over you. I could control you because you don't have as much money as me. That's not at all what we're saying. It's the power of the good that we can do. Not that you hold it over someone, but it gives us the freedom to just show up bigger and better and really serve. And whatever, you know, you finished the statement for you, serve your family, serve your community, serve the world, serve our environment, whatever, right? It doesn't matter. So, but you have to have money to have food on the table and a roof over your head so you could get a good night's sleep. So you have the energy to do all these things, right? It's all about that exchange of energy in some shape or form. Why does it seem that some people are wealthy and others are poor? Is it an element of karma? Is it learned behavior? Like, why is there such disparity when the concept of what we're talking about is actually quite simple?
Yes, there's a reason why we're born into a family that's rich, or we're born into a family that's poor, or something in between. A lot of things make a lot of sense when you believe in reincarnation, which I do believe.
Me too.
Reincarnation. I believe that this isn't the only go round, that we've been on this planet for a very long time, and that we have developed certain beliefs, habits, and conditions, and that we are living out those conditions. So because it is done unto us as we believe, because our thoughts are creating our destiny, whatever thoughts and beliefs we have had in the past continue with us lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And when we incarnate into the womb of the that which is best for us for this incarnation, whether that be a family that is poor or that is rich, whatever it is that's highest wisdom for us to learn in this incarnation. There's a lot of reasons why we are born into a specific family. And a lot of it has to do with our beliefs. What we believe we deserve. That's another thing. So our feeling of worthiness or unworthiness, our feeling of crime and punishment or reward.
Yeah.
That plays into what kind of family we incarnate into.
And it's what lesson we're supposed to learn in that lifetime, right? So it's always like a building block for our soul, or right, to become enlightened, more enlightened beings. So you have to have these human experiences that then transcend, right, from lifetime to lifetime. So it's just fascinating. And, you know, we see the disparity of economics in our world, and you know, you want to help everyone, but everybody's here to learn whatever that lesson is. And we should honor where people are and not judge. And I think we've become a society of judge, you know, before we you know, seek to understand Covey's laws, right? Seek to understand before you want to be understood. And I think we just bark at people because we want to be heard, but we discount others so that we can kind of rise above the noise. And sometimes it's a little bit, you know, icky. I think, but we're all learning, right? It's always a journey of learning. What is the prosperity consciousness that you talk about?
Well, you know, I think I'll just read it right from my book just to make sure.
Cool.
I talk about prosperity consciousness, which is an intrinsic subconscious belief that you deserve to be wealthy, healthy, cared for, lavishly supplied, and wildly, passionately happy. True abundance is infinite joy, fullness, contentment, wholeness, and repletion.
How do you teach people to achieve that? Because I know people are listening. If they're in a bad spot, it's really hard to see the forest from the trees, right? When we're kind of stuck in the weeds, we can't even see the sunlight. So how do you teach people that, provide that roadmap or those tools or those habits to be able to achieve the abundance that we all seek? And abundance, I agree with you, it's not just money, but if you said it, healthy, happy, joyous. How do we get there?
So we have to start somewhere, Connie. You know, we start from where we are. And where we are may be in a very depressed state, debilitated state,
yeah,
or a hopeful state. We're in all different states, but we have to start somewhere. And the great thing about my book, Prosperity Meditations, is that you don't have to do anything, really. I call it the do nothing program. Do nothing, nothing, and less than nothing. And the less you do, the better things work. And that is because we are creating our destiny through every thought, every word, and every deed. So let's start with our thoughts and our beliefs. So we can start changing those little by little through the affirmations that are in the book, Prosperity Meditations. There's affirmations in the book, prayers, yeah, affirmations, meditations, and affirmations, they have an immediate effect. That's what's fantastic about affirmations, is that they will change your mind instantly. You know, you may feel very depressed and very debilitated, and then you just open the book and you say an affirmation and suddenly you feel better. You just feel better right away. Now, when you're saying an affirmation, it's a good idea to say it as though your higher self is saying it through you. What does that mean? It means that you're saying it with confidence, with conviction, and as though you really mean it. And you say it audibly, not just read it. If you just read things, it's not going to manifest in the physical world. If you say it audibly, with confidence, strongly, it has a powerful effect. I'll just give an example. I am in control. I am the only authority in my life. I am divinely protected by the light of my being. I close off my aura and body of light to the lower astral levels of mind, and I open to the spiritual world. Thank you, God, and so it is. So if you say an affirmation strongly with conviction, it has an incredibly powerful effect, and you feel it vibrating within you and around you. Not only affects yourself, it affects everything around you. So affirmation is something that I really advocate if you want to change your beliefs, if you want to change your way of thinking. And that is the key to changing your life.
You know, and there was a statistics I did for another show, but it's relevant to this conversation and what you just said. It's something like we have 60,000, and the numbers could be off, but pretty close. I'm pretty close here. I think we have 60,000 negative or 60,000 thoughts a day. 43,000 of those 60,000, so you see the percentage there, are negative. And tomorrow, 90% of our thoughts are exactly what we thought today. So the power of that those negative mantras, they're almost wired within us because they repeat, repeat, repeat. So with your example and how you just shared that authority and how you said it with your conviction in your voice, right? Those words now have a vibrational energy behind them, through us and out into the world. And that's just such a beautiful first step to be able to change that negative inner workings that we go through every day, right? 90% is repeated, which is a little scary. The good news is, based on what you're saying, Susan, that we can change that. We have the power. We just have to make a choice to take that power, and which God-given right, right? And how do you apply it? And I think your book, by the way, I did read your book, Prosperity Meditation. And wasn't there an exercise where you ask us to record the affirmations in our voice and then listen to them? Was that your book or another book?
It is my book.
Okay.
And it isn't the affirmations that I suggest that you record. It's the meditations, the guided meditations. When I said the Do Nothing program, I was referring to guided meditations. Guided meditation, I believe, is the easiest possible way to meditate. All you have to do is follow the instructions. That's why I call it the Do Nothing program. Do nothing, nothing, and less than nothing. Just listen to what you've recorded. So my idea is that in the book, Prosperity Meditations, there are guided meditations, not just affirmations, not just prayers, not just mantras. And in the case of the guided meditations, I suggest that you just record them on a device, your computer or your phone or whatever you use to record. Just record the meditations onto your device, and then you just sit down, get comfortable, begin the recording, close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and just listen to the guided meditation. Your own voice will guide you into meditation, and it works. It's very powerful.
Because it's our voice. So it becomes, again, this exponential experience, because you're not listening to someone else's voice, right? Because subconsciously, well, it works for them. It doesn't work for me. But when you hear your own voice saying the words, right, it really, I think it seeps into you, right? Like a piece of bread and sauce. I'm Italian, right? So you dip that bread and get it really soggy. But I think it's that same kind of connectivity where we marinate ourselves in words, right? You share what the word path, you know, what the phraseology is, but then it's our voice. So we can marinate ourselves, right? And believing what we're hearing, because it's our voice. So I loved that. And it was so funny. Yeah. As you were speaking, I'm like, I could swear this was her. I read so many books. which you know about me, Susan. So that I wanted to double check, but that to me, we're out of time, but that to me, everyone, just buy the book. The affirmations they're not affirmations. The meditations are not long passages either. So it's not like you're going to talk into your phone or whatever for 20 minutes. They're really compact and short. So you could get along with your busy day, but also I found that to be super powerful to download in my voice. So I'm glad I read the book, a while ago, you know, just the way the schedule worked out for us to get on, to record it now. So, powerful stuff. I'm just curious. My last question, because we are out of time. How did you learn that? Did someone teach you to record your own voice with these meditations?
No, really, Spirit just told me to. I mean, many of my books are just really down, you call them downloads, just receiving inspiration, wisdom, and then just writing it on the page. So many of my books are received that way, and they just come through that way.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. You know, again, you're the conduit and you're the expert, but you've achieved it. Everybody can achieve it. Again, here's the thing, Susan. I believe we're at a crossroad now, right? Where they're here, people are listening to the show. You have two choices. You could say, that was cool. That was a cool conversation Connie had with Susan. Awesome stuff. Don't buy the book. Don't do the meditations. Don't do any meditations and choose to do nothing differently. It's a choice, and that is certainly okay. And then some people are going to be like, wait, how do I get the book? Or wait a minute, I don't know if I want to buy the book, but I like this idea of meditation. Let me explore it. But there's an action after listening. That's a choice as well. So the action, I believe, is where we can open ourselves up to things that, you know, I call them magical, right? They're magical things. But you have to be open to it to even get those downloads. Again, my word, yours is the divine, you know, connection. Here's the deal, everyone. Please, please, check out Susan's website. It's drsusan.org. And you have a free gift. It's susangift.com. I'll put all this in the show notes. But Susan, can you tell everybody what the free gift is? Because it's abundant, guys, for you. Free generosity here.
In my special gift that I'm offering, you'll get a mini meditation, Awaken to Spirit. You'll hear a lecture, How to Hear the Voice of Divine Intuition. You'll get a teleseminar, Healing Psychic Sponge Syndrome. You'll get a coupon towards a spiritual retreat tour or cruise ship seminar. And you'll get free access to my weekly prayer circle, which I personally lead.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much. So again, we have resources here that are gifts for my guests to help you start your journey, continue your journey, or just grow in your journey, no matter where you are, right in the pendulum of I'm a newbie all the way to, hey, I've been doing this 20 years. We can always get better. You get new divine, receptions, every day. That's why you have all these wonderful books out there. So again, if we're open to it and we start practicing it, magic really does happen. We have a choice. So I hope you choose to buy the book or at least go to Susan's website. Again, let me give it to you one more time. It's drsusan.org, drsusan.org. And I will put that in the show notes. Susan, thank you so much. You're just lovely and you make it sound simple, which I think is good. I know it's not simple, right? It's a simple concept, but I think you've paved the road for us by creating the prosperity meditation so that we can record it in our own voice, our own pace, whatever it is, and then listen to it and just do nothing. And that was the other thing I love. Do nothing. So just before you go to bed, sit and, or when you first wake up in the morning, or do you recommend a certain time of day to do it or whenever works for people?
I think you hit it the nail on the head. First thing in the morning or last thing late at night is the best way to start changing your thoughts and your beliefs, especially right before you go to bed.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Wayne Dyer, I read every one of his books, but in his book, Wishes Fulfilled, he has a chapter and he says, before you go to bed, when you lay your head on the pillow, just list three, start with three things that you're grateful for. And it could be silly as you saw a pretty cloud in the sky, right? It doesn't have to be anything grand, you know, grand or earth shaking. It could be something simple as the cup of coffee you had in the morning. And he says, but try to start with three. And what happens, right? You end up with 50 things at the end of the day, truly that you're grateful for. And the reason he said to do this at night is he said, now as you're going to sleep, your mind is percolating on all these beautiful, beautiful memories, beautiful things that you were grateful for during the day, your child's smile or giggle or whatever it was. You percolate on that. You have a better night's sleep. You dream more beautifully. And then you wake up in a better mood that you could start your level of productivity. And it starts with just three things that you're grateful for at night, or use the meditation like Susan is talking about. There's so many tools and strategies out there. Pick what's comfortable for you and then go for it. So check out the website. Again, it's drdrsusan.org. I know you'll find something that will resonate with you and make you comfortable on wherever you are again on your journey. Susan, thank you so much. Truly a joy speaking with you and getting to know you. And again, I did love the book. And by the way, the book is quite short. So it's not like it's going to take you 10 years to read. And you could start with one meditation, record it and play with that, and then come back to the book and do another one. It's not like read it through and be done with it. That's not how the book, it's not how I interpreted the book for myself personally. And I can always speak from my perspective, Susan.
Right. And there's an appendix in the back. So you can choose the affirmation or meditation that you want to focus on at that time. And the book is not just about money. It's about so many things: health, relationships, love, prosperity, world peace. So many different aspects of prosperity.
Just shine our light bigger and better and help others shine their light. And we can actually change the world right together. You just got it. Here's the deal. Again, it goes back to choice. We all have a choice right here, right now. And I hope that you seek whatever it is for you that will get your mojo going. Susan, thank you so much. And thank you all for joining me. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together. No matter where you are on your journey of change and you fill in the blank, I really do hope my guests and I provide some ideas, strategies, tips that you can implement and make use in your life to change it for you, your family, or whoever that's important to you in your world. So thank you again for tuning in and listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.com. Again, I wish you all truly an inspired week, and I hope that today's conversation has inspired you to look at yourself a little bit differently and perhaps try something that maybe is new or extremely familiar to you wherever you are. And I hope you find it peaceful, useful, and all of the things to help you on your journey. Thank you again. I love that you tune in weekly. I love you all. And I'll see you next week. Susan, thank you again, my friend.
And thank you, Connie.
My pleasure.